listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
John, the great interrupter here, wants to interrupt.
So I'm John the Baptist and John the interrupter, I guess. So someone told me there's a very special day in August in your family. What day is that?
For Sharon and I, August 31st, we have been married 54 years.
Wow, yes.
And some of you are wondering how that could even happen because we don't look a day older than 50. God performs miracles. How many know that? He rolls back the time.
And we know that God's power resides in Sharon, don't we? On behalf of this congregation, Larry, we just want to present you with a token of our appreciation and our love and respect for you and Sharon. Happy anniversary. And by the way, Sharon's name is on that check, too.
Yeah, I would assume so. It says Larry and Sharon. Thank you, guys. Thank you. So much appreciated. Take your Bibles. Turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. I want to talk to you on the topic of truth in love. And I want to read a single verse, that being the 15th verse. Paul is the writer, and here's what he says. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. This verse, this single verse, teaches us that we are to grow up into Christ by speaking the truth in love. I hope that I can communicate this message to you this morning. We're going to follow this up with a prophetic word, and I believe God has something for us to lay hold of before we walk out of these doors this morning. People can say that they love, but not speak the truth. People can speak the truth, but not love those to whom they speak. And we need to learn to do both. Church, it's incumbent upon us to embrace that idea. Now, this is a very important concept for us to get down when responding to our current culture. How many could believe with me this morning that our culture is really confused? I never thought it would happen that we could not fully embrace and define what a man is and what a woman is. Our culture is flipped upside down, and we need a Jesus culture to invade our present culture. And the scripture gives us some insights on how we can go about that. The God whom we worship is both truth and love. And for us humans, keeping the two together is quite the challenge. God is good and he is just. Do you believe that? Here are some contrasts that you may be cognizant about. For some, there is a heaven, and on the other side of the spectrum, there is a hell. Do you see the difference? Do you see the contrast? 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and Romans, or 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and Romans chapter 11 teach us that biblical Israel is an example to us. And they reflect this contrast that exists. It kind of speaks of our culture. It speaks of the challenge that we are in. You see, in Israel, God demonstrated wonderful, miraculous blessing and prosperity. You look at the children of Israel in all facets of their walk, their journey as they came out of Egypt, as they inhabited the promised land. But at the same time, as they embraced the prosperity of God and the goodness of God, God also demonstrated to Israel some devastating punishment along the way. That's the contrast. Because God is God, and very complex to our natural thinking, his ways are beyond our comprehension. How many figured that out? Many, many times I just had to come to a place and say to myself, well, God is God and I'm just me. Because I really don't understand God all the time. And frankly, no one does. Yet I believe God. And that's where we need to come to in our life. That while we don't understand him all the time, we believe God. Not just believe in him, but we believe God. And there is still a difference there. I don't just believe God, but I believe what he says in Scripture by the Holy Spirit. So, I'm encouraged in the Bible, and then I'm also warned in the Bible. And that should be our view of God. God's there to prosper, and God's there to warn us, to keep us between the guardrails. And we need to embrace both aspects of his divine nature. Good parents, and I assume you would want to be and ascribe to be a good parents both encourage and they warn their children. One without the other warps that child's growth as they come into maturity. Children want the positive, but how many know very often they'll react to the negative? But they need both, and we do too. One without the other warps the truth. Now I want to give a statement to you right now, and I trust you could write it down. Because I'm going to come back to it a little later on in this service. But here is the statement I want to make to you this morning. Love is the bridge over which difficult truth travels. Let me give that to you again. Love is the bridge over which difficult truth travels. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul was supremely educated, we learn, and very intelligent. He was mentored by Gamaliel, a member of the Sanhedrin, went to the best college in the land. However, Paul was severe in his application of the law. At a point in time, Paul consented to the stoning of Stephen, a disciple of Jesus, and furthermore, the persecution of untold numbers of Christians. But one day, how many are glad you had a one day in your life? One day, when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, everything changed. And I hope that's where you're at. You just didn't have a turn of a leaf in your life. But when you met Jesus, everything changed. The things you liked changed. The things you read changed. The movies you went to, you no longer go to. You see, Jesus radically changes us as a people. And in Paul's case, those who were his enemies, namely the Christians, became his friends. And it was pretty confusing because when he started embracing these Christians, they thought this was a supplant to take them out. Somehow Paul had to bring them to a place of conclusion. He was actually on their side. Later, he wrote much of the New Testament, including 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which we call the love chapter. It's the love chapter of the Bible. It's not only the love chapter that we read at weddings or any of those special occasions. But how many could believe with me it might be a way to live our lives? How to direct our paths? He closes that chapter by listing the three great characteristics. He mentions faith. He mentions hope, and he mentions the third word, and that's the word love. Then Paul says, the greatest of these three is love. And I want you to see something this morning on this idea of love that'll propel you into a different way that you live your life. And you get to practice this week. And you get to practice the rest of this month. And could I remind you that the practice sessions continue all year long? And when we get to 2023, we still get to do the very same thing. So let's talk about this for a moment. These three words, I want to play around with them a bit. The word being faith. Faith is vital to our salvation and a healthy spiritual journey. Faith is believing and moving toward what is yet unseen. How many have some unseen things in your life that you know about? It hasn't happened yet. See, faith is the key element to getting to that place. By faith, the Bible says, our forefathers and foremothers accomplished great things. Of course, Paul himself was saved by faith. And he told others about saving faith. And when someone loses faith, you know what happens? They become lost and they become disillusioned. How many bumped into a few Christians that are lost their way and are a little disillusioned? See, one of the things about that is when believers allow that to take place, they become a little cynical as well. So you see how important faith is. It keeps you pointed in the right direction. And yet, The Apostle Paul was inspired to say that love is greater than faith. As important as faith is to you and I, Paul has this insight and says that love is greater than that. And that is an amazing statement, because we all want to live our lives by faith and see victory. Correct? The second word that pops up here is the word hope. Hope, the Bible says, is essential to endurance. What's endurance? Endurance is nothing more than keeping on, keeping on. Staying in the harness. Not flying the ship, but staying on course for God. And endurance is essential, the Bible declares, to obtaining the promises of God. Anybody here want to embrace the promises of God for your life? Well, hope's a big part of that. And those who lose hope, you know what happens? They quit. And they come up short. Don't lose hope. Jesus said in the last days, we're going to need endurance. It's going to be some tough sledding out there. You're going to need to endure through some pretty hard times. And if you think what you've been going through is pretty tough up to this point, I just want to say, be sure your seatbelt buckled in. The return of Jesus and the resurrection of the dead, the scripture calls the blessed hope. So hope's very, very important. Hope is not a minor issue. But Paul says that love is even greater than hope. It's the greatest. And I want you to key in on love for a second this morning, and I hope that we can have a clear understanding of love. Paul is not minimizing faith, nor is he minimizing hope, as he writes much about both. But he's maximizing and elevating the necessity of love. Jesus told his disciples that they would be known as his disciples by their, come on, love for each other. How do we get there? How do we ever get there? Well, hopefully today I'll be able to unpack some stuff that'll be easy enough for you to embrace. That'll transform your life. So I want to talk to you about a few things that relate to the subject of love. The first thing is I want you to focus on the beloved disciple. It's an interesting start. His name is John, and you find him in the New Testament. John is called the beloved disciple in the New Testament. And this was the case. The answer isn't complicated. This was the case because he was known to be close to Jesus. There's a clue. There's a clue for us. If we want to live in love, one of the biggest things we've got to understand is we've got to stay close to Jesus. Jesus is more than your Savior to keep you out of hell and get you to heaven. He wants you to embrace him in such a way that your relationship is just like his character. You're going to be reflecting him as you walk out your human life. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16 tells us that God is love. He's not only love, but he is love. It was John who gave the Gospel of John and wrote to us John 3:16. So, when you get close to Jesus, his love is dispensed or downloaded into your soul. That's why it's so important to spend quality time with Jesus. The more time you spend with Jesus, be it in his word, be it in prayer, be it in worship, be it in communication, however you endeavor to get close to Jesus, his nature is downloaded into you. And you can't help but be like him. Secondly, keep this in mind, love begins in God. Love began and continues to begin in God. The nearer we get to him, the more we love like him. And that's like my first point, the beloved disciple. That brings me to the third element, and this might be a surprise to you. God loves everybody. God loves everyone equally. And by the way, not just you. He loves those neighbors on your block just as much as he loves you. He loves the downtrodden just as much as he likes you. Jesus said to love our neighbors, our enemies, and even our persecutors. And Jesus summed up the law by saying, "Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, your strength and mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And then when asked, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus began to tell the story about the Good Samaritan. Remember, Jews hated the Samaritans. My brother and I made a trip to Israel and went to Samaria. Went to the well where Jesus met the Samaritan woman. By the way, she wasn't there. And we recall scripture. But the great divide between the Jews and the Samaritans is still known to this day. Jesus loved the Samaritans. They were his neighbors. So let me bring it together if I can. The more we love God, and the more we know his love, the more we love others who might be just a little difficult to love. Question. Here's a question for you. Are you today a candidate? Are you open to the idea for more of the love of God? Or do you think you are pretty much full right now? Thank you. I don't need any more of the love of God. Where do you stand on that idea? Whatever the case, remember, the source of God's love is God himself. Isn't the real complicated message? But I want to break it down in this simplistic idea. We don't merely seek love. We seek God, and we get love. That's what I want you to get a hold of this morning. You don't need to read a book that says 18 steps to loving like Jesus. Probably wouldn't hurt. But here's what I want to offer you this morning. The more we press into the Lord Himself, love is a natural outgrowth, an outflow of that. I still need to go a little deeper here. Great revivals become revivals of love. If you study revivals, and we had a weekend just this last weekend with Tracy Armstrong, and we identified these services as revival meetings. We need to be revived. See, revival meetings lead us to Jesus, and Jesus downloads his love in us, and we need a revival in this day. Revivals spread because love spreads.
Yeah, come on.
So if there's any one thing we get out of a revival, is that we get a download of Jesus in our life to the measure that it overflows the banks and it begins to spread all over. And we desperately need God's love, particularly in our divided culture. And oh, is it divided? I'm not going to go and waste time and get into the political divide, sociological divide. How many know there's a lot of religious divides right now? Debate and name calling, that's not going to spread the gospel. But love will. And I want us to be a church that spills the love of God. And the only way we can spill the love of God is when we get near God. Call it a revival. Call it an awakening. Call it a deeper relationship with Jesus. Call it whatever you want, but we need more of God in our life so the entity called love is spewing from our life. Let me go back to that statement that you wrote down. Love is the bridge over which truth travels. Truth has two extremes. There's the positive, there's the negative. And however you communicate truth, your success will largely be determined on this matter of love. And can I say that we've been called to be bridge builders? This house needs to be a bridge building house, reaching cultures. I'm so grateful. Byron and I met this week, and it's our passion to reach the many Hispanic folk of Grace Harbor. We're to be bridge builders. It's not only an ethnic thing. How many know there are a lot of situations out there where people would never darken the door of this place but still need to see the love of God demonstrated? How is that going to happen except for the fact that we deliver? See, we've been called to the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciling people to God. We are to bring a revival. And we bring this revival by carrying the love, which is the greater of faith, hope, and love. And this message that we are about needs to get out into Grace Harbor. And I think we're coming into a new season. All of the prophetic and all the signs and wonders. How many enjoyed Tracy's message on differentiating between signs and wonders and the gifts? What a powerful message that was. I'm still trying to embrace the whole matter. God wants to give us a proceeding word, how we're going to go forward in this. David, come share with us some prophetic insights. Then we're going to stand, we're going to respond, and we're going to believe that God wants to transform not only us individuals, but as a house in this day, in this hour, to be an instrument. And we'll carry this message with love. That was a good word, Pastor.
Somebody said one time, Lord, start a revival. Draw a chalk line around himself. He's ever in the middle of this circle, start it right there. It starts with us. It starts with us. Ben, I prayed for Matt during the service. God is changing him this morning. God's unwrapping him. God is giving him a real encounter this morning. That's going to change after this morning. This is what the Lord gave me. I usually don't have a piece of paper, but there's so much that I didn't want to miss it. Is that okay? No, but I got a really good memory. Okay. And I'll review the streaming, so okay. Anyway. Lord was just downloading this during the worship and the service. Jesus changed the atmosphere wherever he went. Why? Because he brought the kingdom of God. When Jesus began his ministry, the kingdom of God invaded the kingdom of darkness at that moment. And he said, the kingdom of God does not come with outward observation, but it is within you. He said, it pleased the Father that all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Jesus in bodily form. Then Paul, when he talked to the church of Colossae, said, and of his fullness we have all received. So we carry that. We carry the kingdom of God within us. When Jesus showed up, everything changed. The atmosphere changed. Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forevermore. When he shows up, he still changes atmospheres. He does that through us, his people. When Jesus looked out upon the multitude, he was moved with compassion because he saw that they were weary, they were harassed, they had no one to help them. And what the Lord wants to couple with the message that Pastor shared, that faith motivated by love always releases the hand of God, always releases the power of God. It's the faith, the compassion that Jesus had that was releasing the power of God for the people. Jesus is changing your atmospheres because he loves us. Okay, he's changing your atmosphere because he loves you. Sister, he's changing your atmosphere right there because he loves you. He's changing it. When we personally experience the power of God to change our atmosphere, only then can we be used of God to be immersed into other people's situation that he can change their atmosphere. We can't carry what we have not experienced and received. So what is he doing right now in lives? He's bringing restoration. He's bringing renewal. He's bringing healing. He's bringing unshakable courage and confidence in His love. It's the power of His love that changes, because He loves us all and He loves this world. It wasn't the nails that kept Jesus on the cross. It was the love of God for all of us. God is going to immerse us into other people's situations to begin to use us to change those atmospheres, to bring the very atmosphere of heaven into those situations. What is God doing? He's raising up a people that will begin to display the raw power of God. He's raising up people that are mountain movers. We're called to move mountains in people's lives, in people's situations. We're destined to do that. And you think, what, me? Me? Yes. And He told me to tell you about Elijah. Elijah was a Tishbite. What's a Tishbite? You ever heard of a Tishbite before? It's not like he was of the 12 tribes of Israel. He was just a nobody, but God used him. And what God is doing in this hour, He is raising up captains. He's raising up generals. He's raising up people that have waited upon Him, that have His heart, that have emptied themselves out of all personal need for recognition or accolades. They're doing this because of the love that God put in them. And they're going to move mountains. We're going to move mountains. Yeah. And people say, who are you? You've not been taught. You've not been trained. Oh, but you've been with Jesus. Where have we heard that before? Huh? We've been with Jesus. Pastor talked about being with Jesus. You can't help but get immersed in His love. Last thing out of Daniel, that those who know their God will perform great exploits. He's calling this generation. He's beginning to unveil who we are, who we carry, what we are, and what our mission is. Jesus went about healing all manner of sicknesses and diseases and freeing people from captivity. He came to destroy the works of darkness. Are we on point? That's our mission. That's our mission. And we're going to do it. We're going to change Grays Harbor. God is going to use us to change Grays Harbor.
Stand to your feet with me, would you please? I was privileged, thank you, David. I was privileged to live in the day when there was a move of God called the Jesus Movement. That was a move of God. It originated on the west coast of the United States. And it literally took the states by storm, and the nation was impacted by the Jesus Movement. There's a shift taking place. And we get in this hour to be a participant in the Jesus culture. Not only does it change people's individual lives, but you're going to see the effect around. We've got a prayer team here, and I'm going to invite you to come. Here's what I want you to do. I'm going to invite you to Jesus, but the prayer team is here to help you get all the blackberry bushes out of the way so you can get to Jesus. How many know if you get to Jesus, that's a home run? But some things are keeping you from Jesus. And there's a prayer team here to help you, to pray with you, to get rid of those obstacles, those hurdles. They're going to pray and believe with you that you can be more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus, so that you can attain to your calling in God And if God's placed you in Grays Harbor, guess where you get to work? You get to serve Him right here in Grays Harbor. And we want to fan that flame in this house so that you can be everything that God's called you to be. But you got to get to Jesus. That's the answer. That's the big deal. You got to get to Jesus. You got to be honest enough to realize there's a bunch of stuff keeping you away from Jesus. And a prayer team wants to help you get to Jesus this morning. So if you have a need in your life, I want you to step forward. We're going to end right here. Some of you need to get your kids. And some of you just want to fellowship one another. Be respectful of the ministry going on here in your fellowship time. But hasn't it been good to be in the house of God? How many received a directive from the Lord this morning that you can get your head around and get your arms around and embrace for Kingdom Values? God bless you. Thank you for being here. Go in the mighty name of Jesus. Let His love go from you to everyone. If you need ministry, come step forward and we will pray with you. God bless you. Have a great week in the Lord.
You're listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.